As the government here brings in new restrictions on vapes, in Australia, the vape crackdown has already seen a new nicotine product targeted at teens. It appears to be a classic case of whack-a-mole across the Tasman, as vapes there have already been restricted. Now a different flavoured substance has sprung up to fill the void. Nicotine pouches, which contain a raft of ingredients, are being pitched to young people on social media. Associate Professor Becky Freeman from Sydney University's School of Public Health says the pouches have only recently emerged in Australia and they're being promoted by online influencers. With New Zealand's Associate Health Minister Casey Costello announcing a range of cabinet measures yesterday, including banning disposable vapes and placing further restrictions on retailers, it may be just a matter of time before nicotine pouches appear here. Professor Freeman's concerned about the potential health effects of them. Good morning. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
First, could you outline what the new regulations in Australia are? Some took effect at the beginning of this year. Others took effect at the beginning of March.
Yeah, so from the 1st of January, we put a ban on disposable vaping products from being imported into Australia. So whether they contain nicotine or no nicotine, you can no longer bring them in. That was extended to all types of vaping products as of March. Now, if you want to access a nicotine-containing vape in Australia, you must have a prescription from a doctor and get it from a pharmacy. However, we still have a loophole in that non-nicotine vapes that are already in the country, as you can imagine, we're absolutely flooded with these products over the past few years, can be legally sold at retail shops. But we know that no one wants a non-nicotine vape. So invariably, all those products being sold do contain nicotine. And so the final piece of legislation that's actually being introduced today to Parliament is to ban the retail sale of non-nicotine vapes as well. And that will make sure the pharmacy model of getting a prescription will actually work as was intended.
Okay, so January 1st, some come into effect. March 1st, others come into effect. Just before we crack on to what's happening by means of response, what drove those changes? What drove the government where you are to bring in tighter restrictions?
Oh, one thing, high rates among young people. For a product that's supposed to be aimed at smokers trying to help them to quit, the vast majority of use happening in Australia was with young people, most of whom have never or would have never smoked.
Okay, let's have a look at what you now fear will happen. Could you explain first to people who don't know what these nicotine pouches are that have begun appearing?
Sure. So a nicotine pouch, it actually looks like a little tiny tea bag, if you like. Comes in a round container, often flavored just like vapes. So comes in bubblegum flavor, apple mint. You take the little tea bag, you put it between your lip and your gum, and you absorb the nicotine that way. Now, these products are made by the big tobacco companies. So your Philip Morris Internationals, your British American Tobacco, they all manufacture these products. And in fact, we see the British American Tobacco brand is a leading sponsor of the McLaren Formula One team. So these are by companies who know, who understand how to market, who know how to attract a new audience.
All right. It's we're talking specifically snus, I understand, that has begun to appear. How is it appearing, though? Because you've got quite strict rules, have you not, on nicotine products, full stop.
Yeah, and just to be clear, that there is a difference between nicotine pouches and snus. So snus has been around for decades and decades, primarily used in Scandinavia, and it contains tobacco, whereas nicotine pouches only contain nicotine that's could be extracted from tobacco plants or could be managed synthetically in a lab. And now in Australia, nicotine pouches are also illegal. The way we regulate nicotine in Australia is we classify it as a poison, which means that you can't just add it to products and sell that on to people. The only exception we have, of course, is for tobacco products, for cigarettes. And so these nicotine pouches are being illegally sold. They're being illegally advertised by influencers on YouTube, on Instagram. They are being made available to young people. We don't have very good data yet on how many people are using these products. They've been around in the US for a little while, but they're sort of newly appearing on the shores of Australia.
So they're not legal. Okay, and let's be clear, they're not snus. They're similar, but they don't have the tobacco, right? And we'll come back to that in a moment. And they don't have the tobacco-related chemicals, which, again, is where we... Go ahead.
Well, do they... I know,
Got
it's
it.
so confusing, isn't it? There's so many products, so many manufacturers.
Well,
Like, how do you
let's
even
just
recognize
pause. Let's
everything?
just pause and get to the
Yeah.
point. The critical
Sure.
question with vapes is the argument is that this is an anti-smoking quit tool in a constructive
Mm-hmm.
sense. And the reason for that is that you lack some of those harmful chemicals that are used in the delivery of tobacco as a cigarette, right? So let's talk about what is still harmful in the vapes and also in some of these new products. What
Sure.
are the warnings you want to have about why these companies will push different products and why they still carry harm?
Yeah, and if you're a tobacco company, you want your customers to use all your products, right? You want them to smoke, vape, and now use pouches. The whole gamut. You want customers for life. You want them addicted to nicotine. And the number one harm from both vapes and from pouches is nicotine. Nicotine is not a benign substance. Nicotine addiction is not a trivial matter. We spoke with young people. I lead a survey called Generation Vape, and we know that some young people find themselves so addicted that they're sleeping with their vape under their pillow at night. This is, grossly impacting the quality of their life, their ability to concentrate at school. Now, if you are a smoker, of course, and you've smoked your whole life, you're hitting middle age, you've tried everything you can to quit and you can't, and you switch fully to vaping, then of course you're probably doing yourself some health favors here. But that doesn't mean that young people who have never smoked should freely take up vaping products or pouches for that matter.
So let's come back to the pouches. How are they getting into the country if they are an illegal product there because they contain nicotine? How are they getting into the country? Do you know?
Well, that's a very interesting question because I think there's actually been some confusion at our border about whether these products are legal or not. Some of the people selling them are trying to claim that they are a therapeutic good and therefore, like patches, nicotine patches and gums should be freely available to be imported into Australia. However, patches and gums have been submitted to our health authority and tested and researched to prove that they're both safe and effective for smoking cessation. That hasn't happened with pouches. We just have companies making claims that they're safe and effective. And so I think we're going to see now that, the Australian authorities have been alerted to this. I would like to see a crackdown on enforcing our ban. That's already happened in the state of New South Wales, where our public health officers, who are also responsible for enforcing tobacco control laws, have started to seize these products from retailers.
To be clear, is this a case where people are directly importing them overseas by purchasing them online, or are they being brought into the country and retailed or otherwise sold?
They're being brought into the country and retailed or otherwise sold. And I know this for a fact because I ordered some myself exactly that way.
So online, not on a shelf somewhere, but online
No,
through.
both. So,
Okay.
yeah, but they're already in the country. So I didn't have to wait, a week and a half for it get delivered from the US or something. Ordered it, got it the next day. So product already imported into Australia being sold both online and in retail shops.
In which retailers, which kinds of retailers?
Well, we've heard from the New South Wales Health that from convenience retailers, petrol stations, tobacconists, the typical places where you would find vapes and cigarettes.
So this is a classic case of technically against the law, but nothing's happening, except what is happening in New South Wales.
Yeah, and I think, we have a lot to learn and we need to learn quickly from what happened with vaping. It's never been legal to sell nicotine-containing vapes in Australia. You've always had to have a prescription for them, but we had this big loophole existing for years now for non-nicotine, and that made enforcement really hard. And health authorities really dragged their feet going, what do we do? Oh, we'll put some sort of loose regulations around this. But really, the idea that you could enforce a law where you have to go to the retail point of sale and say, oh, does this have nicotine or does it not have nicotine? Oh, we'll have to test it in the lab before we can enforce whether we seize these products or not. Just not workable. And I think we need to be very clear now, pouches illegal cannot be sold. Put those same sort of stringent laws in place. Otherwise, we're going to be having the same conversation in a couple of years from now saying, oh, it's a real shame we didn't act swiftly and appropriately to ensure a whole new generation didn't get addicted to
It's
nicotine.
whack-a-mole, to your point.
Yeah.
Are they highly addictive also? I've just had a correspondent suggesting they knew someone who would sleep with the pouches in their mouth. And again, because there's no there's no vapor and there's no cigarette smoke being released, they could be sort of 24/7 used in theory, couldn't they, if you got highly addicted?
Yeah, and they're very, very discreet as well. We know, if you want to talk about, maybe small kids wanting to hide the fact from their teachers or parents that they're using these products, a lot more discreet than a vape as well, but they still have those same attractive flavors, apple mint, bubble gum. So it's the making kids curious about them, marketing them in the same places they buy their lollies, fizzy drinks, and ice creams. It's just a classic formula that just keeps getting repeated.
How are they being promoted, by the way? Are we seeing the case where high-profile influencers are very likely being paid or clipping the ticket to promote this?
Yeah, and so we've able to see some viral videos that were on both TikTok and Instagram. They were influencers, ironically fitness influencers, or I guess people who are really interested in going to the gym were promoting them, or athletes were promoting them. But again, this was, quite small scale in the large scheme of things. But you look at how British American Tobacco is sponsoring a Formula One team, and Formula One is watched by billions of people all over the world, and has lots of entertainment programs that go along with it. I'm sure you've got listeners who love the Drive to Survive program. And so these products are being promoted through entertainment media and sports, as well as influencers.
So does this lead us back to the producers, the manufacturers, or the owners of the companies that do produce and manufacture being some of our biggest global tobacco companies?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Both Philip Morris and British American Tobacco have nicotine pouch brands that they are actively promoting.
It is classic whack-a-mole, isn't it?
It is. It's so frustrating, honestly. You work in this field and you think maybe one day we'll be able to work ourselves out of a job, but no, the tobacco industry just po keeps popping its head back up.
So is this the case where there's so new again? You can't say regulations aren't keeping up because regulations for donkey's years there have banned nicotine products, right? Other than the exemptions for the obvious. Is it just a case of enforcement, it being impossible to enforce?
I don't think it's impossible to enforce. I think it's getting caught off guard by new products and not being as strategic about researching. We researched people's attitudes, beliefs, behaviors about smoking, and then we don't have that same sort of rigor about keeping track of what new products are coming on the market. We should be tracking the tobacco industry and their activities and their marketing, what they're manufacturing, just as closely as we track individuals. But we should also be saying, stop. Tobacco industry, you can't be trusted to come up with new products. There should be an absolute moratorium on bringing new products in that the tobacco industry manufactures. I don't see why we continue to allow them to play this whack-a-mole game with us.
Let's talk about the health risk again. We touched on it earlier, and that the complicated situation where vapes are a vital not quit smoking tool for many people. We hear from them, right? But have ended up being marketed as marketed to new generations that weren't addicted to nicotine. When we talk about the relative harms, what would you say with the pouches again? The nicotine itself, is that your main issue, or are there other health issues people should be aware of?
Yeah, and I think, there's been some testing of the pouches themselves to see, what's in these things. Are they as they claim? Are they only contain nicotine flavors and, plant mulch, essentially? Is that what's in them, or are there other things in them? And of course, when they've been tested, surprisingly, even though they say it's only nicotine extracted from tobacco, you still find these chemicals known as tobacco-specific nitrosamines. And these are compounds that can damage DNA and, with, very long-term exposure, can actually lead to cause cancer. And I'm not saying pouches cause cancer. We do not have that kind of data. They haven't been used for long enough yet. But it's, again, a case of they say one thing, we test the product and find that it's not true, that there are other things in there. They're not pure, they're not clean, and nicotine is not a benign substance.
Back to the marketing issue, which was the criticism many had here with the introduction of vaping. It was never enabled to be a product tightly marketed to or tightly provided to quit smokers. It had a heavy youth culture marketing campaign launched right after a legal battle here, actually. So, is that one of the frontiers that you think New Zealand needs to be aware of? I know we've spoken, my colleague has spoken to the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation here, who says nicotine pouches, to the best of their knowledge, not a thing here in New Zealand yet. but what would your
Yet.
advice be?
Oh, look, I think the keyword there is yet. They're not a problem yet. And I think being proactive, waiting rather than waiting to see what the tobacco industry will do. The tobacco industry does what it does. It just repeats it in countries all over the world. And, obviously, New Zealand leaders in tobacco control, leaders in public health, and I would think would be, well placed to be on top of this issue as well.
Thank you very much. Becky Freeman, Professor Becky Freeman, who is warning of the nicotine pouches that are now popping up in Australia as the government tightens vaping regulations there. She's at the Sydney University School of Public Health.